The Bible is very specific when it comes to God's people as they gather together in worship. There are many things that entail that worship. One of those things is song. Matter of fact, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians, it talks about as they come together, he that hath a psalm. There are some who have a song in their heart that they want to share one with another, and that which comes from the heart, directed by the Spirit of God. And those always speak to our hearts. By the way, the music program, if you so call it that, within a church is not a performance. One of the reasons that we really frown upon clapping after folks have sung is because it's a ministry, not a performance. It ought to be the hearts of some as they're giving their praise to God and allowing us to join with them in that praise to the Lord and giving that worship to Him. And though we love these girls, it's not about them. It's about Him who puts the song in the heart. Amen? Very important for us to remember a number of things. We're going to deal with this morning the topic of worship. It's a topic we cannot cover adequate in one service, probably not adequate in a year's worth of service, but we're going to attempt a few things this morning. Before we begin, before we even read Scripture, there is a prerequisite to worship. It is absolutely impossible to worship God until He lives within you. You have not your spirit bearing witness with His spirit. You have not that connection with God, because when you're lost and without Christ, you're dead in your sins and your trespasses. In other words, you're not alive to God. There is no way that a dead person can bring honor to God. And simply before we are born again, we cannot bring honor and glory to Him. We cannot really worship Him. And so the necessity in your life to really give honor, to give glory, to worship Him, first of all, a person needs to be saved. A person needs to realize that without Christ, they are hopeless, they are helpless, and they are hell-bound. That is a necessity in our lives. If we do not realize that and recognize that and turn to Christ, who is willing to save us, to give us hope, to give us help, and to give us heaven, we are indeed lost and without Him. And so I would beg you this morning, I would beseech you this morning, while you're sitting there, just go to God and say, Lord, I need You in my life. I need You as my Savior. I need You above everything else. That is the need of my life. I recognize that and I accept You. And I hope that if not now, somewhere throughout the course of this morning, that that would take place in your life. Book of Exodus, if you would please, chapter 34. We're going to read in Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse number 10. We're going to read 8 verses down through verse 17. Book of Exodus chapter 34, verses 10 down through verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ was questioned, and they questioned Him and asked Him, saying, by what authority doest thou? By what authority doest thou? I have, in and of myself, no authority to tell you anything. No man here, in and of yourself, has the authority to tell me anything. We have not that. In order for you and I to have authority, it must come from a higher source than ourselves. In our nation, we have authorities. It was given to them not by one person, but by many. And so all of us have said, this is whom we trust with this. And thus they have authority. However, there be a greater authority than a nation, it be God. God gives to you and I this wonderful book called the Bible. He has told me to preach and to teach from it with His authority. You and I have the privilege to share this wonderful book under the authority of Almighty God. He simply said, preach the word. He simply said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. But He gave us that authority. And it's upon this book I stand this morning, and from which its pages I wish to, first of all, read and then preach from. Begin verse number 10 with me. And He said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day, and behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou shalt take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this morning that we can have in our hands this wonderful book called the Bible. Lord, we thank you from its pages we can preach with authority. We can know this morning, thus saith the Lord, and we can be assured in our hearts and our lives that what you have said is true and right. Lord, we know that you're the author of life, and this book be the manual of life. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be a people who allow it to change our lives. Lord, that we'd be willing this morning to allow its words and its thoughts and its intents to change ours. Lord, today, work and move in our lives. Bless with the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. God was very specific to the Israelites about their worship. It was to go to none other but Himself. In later years, the prophets came, and when the prophets preached, they said to the Israelites that they had committed spiritual adultery. They had placed their love with other gods. God went to extreme measures to teach them that their worship needed to be upon Him and Him only, to ensure to them that they would not allow that to be misplaced. There were to be, as we've read in these scriptures present before us this morning, no covenantal relationship with unbelievers. There was to be no covenants between they and any other peoples, lest they might have a compromise in their worship of God. He told them, no covenants. I don't want you to make any leagues with them. I do not want you to go in that direction. I believe this morning as we think about that, it's of utmost importance that we understand that God calls you and I to this wonderful place of worship. You say, preacher, what do you mean by worship? Let's try to define it just a little bit this morning. I believe it means that we bring adoration to God. I believe it means that we pay Him divine honor. It is to bring honor to Him with extravagant love, with extreme submission. It is for you and I to bring all honor, all glory, all that means anything unto Him. Perhaps one of the great illustrations in the Bible we find in the book of Mark in chapter number 14. The Bible says, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Here be a woman with such deep devotions for the Lord Jesus Christ that she took that which was worth a great amount of money, that which would have taken care of several families for many weeks, and she broke it and poured it upon his head. She anointed his body with his very expensive perfume. It was indeed a sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. However, we can go back to the book of Numbers and chapter 16, and we read in that chapter of a man by the name of Korah. Korah was a man who looked at Moses, who was the leader of the land, and he looked at Moses and he said, what makes you think that you are so good and why you can have this spot? And Korah was a man who not only wanted to be amongst the priestly tribe, but he wanted to be a priest indeed. And we find that this man brought about a rebellion against Moses and against Aaron. And we find in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 10 and 11, that the Lord looks at this as rebellion also against him. Amongst those who were designed to bring glory and honor and worship to God was this one who did exactly the opposite of that. By the way, may we understand something this morning. When you worship God, when you truly worship Him, it will draw indignation of others. It will draw criticism. It always does. It always has. And you will receive it. Worship is always, almost always, if not always, associated with sacrifice. Because sacrifice is that which shows an extravagance of our love. There's a principle that we need to understand when it comes to study the Bible. And that principle is called the principle of first mention. And simply what it means is the first time that it's mentioned in the Bible, it gives us a very good idea of what it means throughout the Word of God. It's very, very simple as we think about it. The first time the word worship is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 5. And listen as I read. It says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad..." Speaking of his son, Isaac, "I, the lad, will go yonder and worship and come again to you." What was the intent of that time of worship? It was a time whereby Abraham was going to go and sacrifice his most precious possession. It was not his lands. He had none, really. It was not his animals. He had many. It was not his wealth, but it was his son. And he was willing to take that boy up on the mount and there to plunge a knife into his heart to slay him, that he might bring worship to God, because he was willing to sacrifice that which he loved the most. You know the story. God did not allow him to do that. And God provided a ram caught in a thicket to take the place, which was very picturesque of what God does for you and for me. In the New Testament, we read in Matthew chapter number 2 and verse number 11, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Who are we referring to? None but the wise men. And it says, "And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." We find that these men came from the east, and they came for the express purpose of worshiping God. And when they did so, they did with what? Great sacrifice, as they brought these goods to give unto Him. And in both cases, we see a principle that I believe is laid down throughout the Word of God, and that is that worship means sacrifice. It means that we are going to give up something. Now, you and I, in modern-day United States of America, we think so often in the terms of dollars and cents. By the way, there's nothing wrong with capitalism, but we get very capitalistic in our thoughts about God. And so we look at it and we think, well, sacrifice is in dollars and cents. And by the way, it is in dollars and cents as we do sacrifice those of the Lord. But I want to share with you this morning what I believe is even a greater sacrifice, and they are spiritual sacrifices. As we look at these, you might not think of them as sacrifices, but God calls them to that. And I hope that somehow we can get into our mindset as to why God looks at them as sacrifice. The first that I'd like to share with you this morning is found in the book of Psalm in chapter number 141. Verse number 2 says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." I say to you this morning that when you and I are willing to bow our heads and bend our knees in this time of prayer, that according to the Word of God, according to the Psalms here, it is a place of sacrifice. You say, "Well, preacher, what is sacrificial about prayer?" Prayer is a sacrifice of our own self-sufficiency. It is a sacrifice of the fact that we believe we can take care of ourselves. It is a sacrifice of self, that self person that believes that he can handle it all, and it is saying unto God, I must have your help. Matter of fact, it even goes farther than says, "God, I need your help. God, I need you. I must have you in my life. I must have you operating in fullness and in completeness." Little shows our thoughts of God's great goodness and our submission to it than when you and I fold our hands in prayer unto Him. Prayer indeed is a sacrifice unto God. We don't think of it that way too often, but if you and I are really going to be involved in this thing of worship to God, there must be sacrifice, and there must be sacrifice of our own sufficiency. It is coming to God, needing Him. I believe also that we find from the Word of God, if we're going to truly worship Him, if we are going to bring honor and glory to His name, not only must there be prayer, but within that prayer and within our lives, there must be what I will call this morning the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thankfulness. In Psalm 107, verse 22 says, "Let those sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." In 116, verse 17, He says, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord." In Hebrews, He says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." What is it that we often crave in our lives? But is it not that others might see us? A little child, what do? I've heard it from my children. I've heard it from my grandchildren. "Daddy, watch me. Grandpa, look. Watch me. Watch me." We're wanting people to look at us and to approve of us. But thanksgiving is giving that up and recognizing that all of that belongs to the Lord. It is a sacrifice of thankfulness and a realization that it is all about Him and not about ourselves. But I believe also we find there's a sacrifice of what I will describe this morning as devotedness. In the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse number 1, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living," what is it, brethren? "Sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God today is seeking for you and I to bring worship to Him as we sacrifice of our very body. True worship is to offer our bodies to God for whatever purpose He so desires. I don't know about you. I have thought at times I'm having an out-of-the-body experience. But I've never really had an out-of-the-body experience. If you do, let me tell you what has just happened to you. You have just died. You say, well, hope they revive me. Hey, when heaven's on the other side, who wants revived? To be brought back to die again. Amen? But we think about this today, and we look and we see that God wants you and I to give of our bodies. Everywhere this body goes, I have found that my spirit and my soul go with it. From that side of the platform to this side of the platform, it has all been with me. I am over here because my body's here. My soul and my spirit is not over there. God wants you and I to understand today that if we're going to sacrifice something important to Him and give honor and praise to Him, it is to give Him our bodies for whatever He so pleases. To place our body in our church for worship is a sacrifice of time that could be used for selfish enjoyment. And sometimes that's exactly what we do as we go to enjoy ourselves and not sacrifice ourselves unto Him. A sacrifice of devotedness, placing our bodies where God wants them to be placed. We spoke of this morning of divine appointments. It is a matter where we are saying to the Lord, I give up what I want to do, and whatever you have for me, whatever person you bring me into contact with today, I am willing to give myself to that appointment. It is there. I will take advantage of it. You direct me. You lead me. And I am yours. It is a devotedness as we give our bodies to Him. As we do so in those divine appointments, as we do so, by the way, in our church appointments, as we do so in what God has for us, our worship of God is a sacrifice. We see it throughout the Word of God. And we find that the Bible teaches us that prayer is sacrifice. Why is it? Because you and I believe we're self-sufficient, and when we pray, we're saying, I am not. And we are giving that up in recognition of His all-sufficiency. It is a sacrifice of thanksgiving as we recognize that everything that comes our direction is not because of somebody else or our own doings, but a realization it is of God. It means sometimes not getting the recognition that we so desire, but giving it unto Him. It's a devotedness as we give of our bodies. But may I also say to you this morning that we might call it a sacrifice of benevolence. As we are willing to give ourselves unto other people. Listen to these words in the book of Philippians. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. This was an offering that was sent by the Philippians to Paul the missionary. And he calls it a sacrifice acceptable, one that has a sweet smell, referring to the Old Testament, and also referring to the fact that it is very pleasing to God. What is that? Being involved in helping others, particularly as that verse speaks of being involved in helping those who are taking the gospel to other places. The book of Hebrews, it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Put that in connection with the following verse, and you find that a connection with as they give to those who are in the ministry as well. But it's our benevolence unto others is a portion of our worship. Now do you understand that when we pass the offering basket and you put in your tithes and your offerings, that it is also a time of worship to God because it's a sacrifice of benevolence. And it brings honor and glory unto Him. It is worship to Him. We also find the Word of God in the book of Psalm, verse 4 and verse 5. He says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. He says again in Psalm 51, "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." It is a sacrifice of all those desires that we want and all those lusts that we have for the righteousness of God. It's a desire for Him to move and to work within our lives and to change the things that need to be changed. It's a willingness to give up, to put off the old man and to put on the new. Perhaps one of the greatest of all the sacrifices you can give and I can give is found in the book of Psalms, also in chapter 51. And in verse number 17, that says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God wants us to sacrifice our pride. A few years ago in camp, the theme was, it's all about Him. It's not about you and I, it's about Him. And how true that needs to be in our hearts and our lives. And when you and I bring worship to God, it's when we have that broken spirit and a recognition that it's all of God. We're willing to allow God to break us of ourselves. We're willing to give up all that selfishness within. Oh, we have a problem in our country with that. Such a problem we have. Matter of fact, we even come to church, and if I do tonight what I'm thinking God's leading me into, we will see that oftentimes, even in our worship, we bring not that which is righteous and not that which is honoring to God, but we bring of our own sensuality. Rather than allowing God to break us and to mold us and to make us, what is a sacrifice that is wonderful unto God? When you and I are willing to just simply let Him break us. That broken spirit. Allowing Him thus to have that place of dominance in our lives. So often in the world we run into people who are self-willed. So often in the church we run into people who are self-willed. And it's a matter of, I want my way, or there is no way. And God says, that needs to be sacrificed. And one last one, which we've been saying all along the way. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, "By Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." The words from our mouth needs to be that which is what? Bringing glory and honor to Him. So often we talk about everything else. So often it's the sports world that captures our attention. So often it's the weather. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with sports, there's nothing wrong with weather, but there needs to be an allowance of God to have first place. This means and must always be done God's way. The sacrifice of praise is not something you and I can do our own way. In the book of John, chapter number 4, we preached on it recently. In verse 24, it says, "God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him," how? "In spirit and in truth." It must be both. It must come from the spirit within, that which is in touch with God. Not the soul, not the emotions. The Spirit will bring into the soul emotions, but it's not through the soul. It is through the Spirit. It is through the truth. And by the way, the Bible says, "Thy word is truth." And that is the way that true worship is brought to Him. Consider these words that we find in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding." What he's talking about? He's talking about as you and I gather in prayer, it is through Spirit leadership. It is allowing Him to what? Pray through us. You see, if we're going to have prayers answered, we need to allow God to lay upon our hearts what He wants to answer. You say, well, isn't that kind of strange? No, that's praying in God's will. You see, I believe this morning with all of my heart that God never, ever intends to say no to any prayer. A lot of folks say, yeah, God answers all of my prayers. He says no to a lot of them. I'm going to tell you this. If that is your praying, you're not in the Spirit in your prayers. And if I understand the Word of God right, you're not in the will of God. For my Bible teaches me when we pray in the will of God, He answers us. And so you and I today, if we're going to bring worship to Him through our prayers, it is allowing His Spirit to direct us, even in prayer time. But also the truth of the Word of God, even in times of prayer. He said, I will pray, what, with the Spirit? I will pray with the understanding. Please listen to the next part of this. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. If we are going to praise our God in song, it must come from our spirit. A song service is that which, by design, is to not bring people into the position of worship, but allowing them who are in the position of worship to do so through song. There's a difference. It's not to rev you up. It's to allow you release from being revved up by the Spirit of God. And I hope I do not do disrespect by using those words. It is His Spirit moving in us. Whether it be congregational or as we call special. Those who come to the platform and perform ought stay in their seat. It's not about how good you can do or that you have a wonderful voice. It's that the Spirit of God has moved in your heart and you want to share it with others. It's a big difference. Worship brings praise to Him. It's a sacrifice of self. It's a sacrifice of the desires within. Is the sacrifice of money a big thing? Yes. But I believe there's greater sacrifices as we look to the Word of God and discover there's the sacrifice of prayer. I would dare say this morning in this room, many have not made that sacrifice today. You didn't have time. May I put it this way? You didn't sacrifice the time. There's the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice because quite often we are more prone to bellyache and to complain rather than give God the glory and the honor even when things don't seem right. It's a sacrifice of devotedness. As you and I give of our bodies to Christ, allowing Him to use them as He so sees fit. It is a sacrifice of benevolence as we seek to give to the needs of others, particularly as we find from those scriptures in ministry. It's a sacrifice of righteousness. And as the Scripture says very plainly, putting our trust in Him, in His righteousness, not in our own righteousnesses. Sacrificing, maybe we could say, ours for His. A sacrifice of a broken heart. In other words, we're giving up our pride and our thoughts of ourselves, and a sacrifice of praise that can only be done God's way through the Spirit and through truth. Worship. It's a sacrifice. In other words, it's giving ourselves to God. Lord God, today, work in our hearts. Oh God, may we learn to worship. Oh God, may we learn to bring that honor and that glory unto Your name. Oh God, we are so self-absorbed. God, forgive us. I pray, oh God, that You might have that truly exalted position in our hearts and our lives. That we might truly worship You. Oh God, that we might give You that which is so deserving Your name. Lord, we look forward to that day when every knee shall bow. And we marvel at one day that that will take place. But oh God, we're so stubborn ourselves as we leave our stiff. God, I pray, work in our hearts. I pray for any in this room that are not saved. There's no way in this world that they could ever give You honor because they don't even know You. Their life is caught up in themselves. They're headed to a sinner's hell. Oh God, I pray, if there's one like that today, You might save their soul. God, I pray for ourselves. Oh God, how we need to sacrifice self for the Savior. As You did for us, Lord, do that in our hearts and our lives. Bless in these moments. No doubt in this room today are those who need to sacrifice some steps and walk down an aisle and bend their knee and just pour their heart out to You. No doubt there are some in this room that are far from You and they need to renew that. Oh God, I pray that we might truly in these moments allow Your Spirit to direct us and to lead us. That we might worship You in spirit and in truth. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.